Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we need company!
Brian, bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
And welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Monday afternoon. Got Evan on the board, and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, from Madison's Near West Side, from Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM. If you want to join the show, share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789 at 2:30. Going to be joined by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, at 2:30. Talking about a Wisconsin headline with very big importance coming up for accountability here in Wisconsin. We've got fraudulent electors looking to be held accountable, and they're seeking a different venue to have that case be heard. So Matt Rothschild is going to be talking about us all things democracy, that specifically at 2:30. But in the meantime, Evan, how's your weekend? How are you doing on this first day of spring?
It was so good, dude.
Yeah, man?
Oh, man. It's stellar. Stellar weekend.
Stellar weekend?
That poignant pause was to allow you to take a moment to take it in. How stellar my weekend was.
Just trying to scare me for a second, huh?
Yeah, dude. It's all good.
Yeah. But that's glad to hear. If you had an excellent weekend and want to share that with us, 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I had a good weekend, too. It was a good weekend for Wisconsin sports. The Wisconsin Badgers still in the NIT tournament, advanced to the quarterfinals after beating Liberty yesterday. Going to be taking on Oregon tomorrow night in the NIT, the National Invitational Tournament. Unfortunately for the Marquette Golden Eagles, not the case, getting knocked out yesterday by the Michigan State Spartans in the NCAA tournament. But the biggest thing for Wisconsin sports over the weekend, the Wisconsin women's hockey team bringing home the national championship, won the championship yesterday, third time in the last 4 years. And the first program in the entire country to win 7 national titles for women's hockey. So congratulations to the women's hockey team here at Wisconsin, bringing home the hardware yesterday. But one of the things that I caught over the weekend, Evan, and curious to know if you saw this one, pretty big news involving a former president of the United States campaign, and seems like there was a secret about foreign involvement and somebody coming clean for the first time in quite a while. And no, I'm not referring to the hush money payments that were paid by the former President Donald Trump and that involvement. There may be a perp walk in New York tomorrow in regards to that, but this story, and Evan, tell me if you saw this one over at the New York Times over the weekend, but a 4-decade secret, one man's story of sabotaging Carter's reelection. Did you see this?
I saw it. I didn't read it, though. See, I don't have a subscription to the Times.
Oh, come on, man.
I get that paywall, man. I get that paywall.
We got a company subscription. You should just use that
one. Yeah, but it was the weekend. You know, I wasn't here. Next time, I'll make sure and haul in, you know?
I'll come on in.
Check it out.
Fair enough. Well, this one is a pretty compelling story. And my question for those out there in the listening audience is, if there is a political secret, something to the nature of this degree that was kept secret, and it wasn't relatively known, there have been individuals in then President Jimmy Carter's campaign that believed this was the case. But nobody came out and admitted to the wrongdoing. There were not consequences for the foreign involvement or the domestic involvement in foreign affairs that led to somebody else being elected in 1980 than the incumbent president. And should there be accountability for stories like this one? And it's,
I mean, how do you do it, you know, 40 years ago, though?
You can't go back retrospectively. No, you can't. But there,
as far as his running,
needs to be consequences foreign involvement like this, because if you don't, you see it again, which is why there was foreign involvement in 2016, is because this is something that keeps happening. Individuals are able to get away with it, and therefore they're able to break law because there are laws.
And they're brash. Yeah. You know? They're loud about it.
It was one of those not well-kept secrets in the political world, but this is the story written up by Peter Baker that broke over the weekend at the New York Times, talking about a prominent Texas politician said he unwittingly took part in a 1980 tour to the Middle East with a clandestine agenda. Now, this piece, yeah, 43 years later, the man decides that he wants to clear his conscience.
Very sexy story, you know, and you can see a new James Bond.
And it's something that breaks over the weekend news cycle at the New York Times, but the implications of this story are incredible, and therefore, this is where I wanted to lead off, because in my dumpster diving over the weekend, this is the story that came to the top of the mind. It came right across. It really wasn't a dumpster dive, because I found it right on the top of the pile for the news dump over the weekend. But this, again, written by Peter Baker over at the New York Times, it's been more than four decades, but Ben Barnes said he remembers it vividly. His longtime political mentor invited him on a mission to the Middle East. What Mr. Barnes said he did not realize until later was the real purpose of the mission: to sabotage the re-election campaign of the President of the United States. It was 1980 and Jimmy Carter was in the White House, bedeviled by a hostage crisis in Iran that had paralyzed his presidency and hampered his effort to win a second term. Mr. Carter's best chance for victory was to free all 52 Americans held captive before Election Day. That was something that Mr. Barnes said his mentor was determined to prevent.
Wow.
So a political actor here in the United States going overseas to the Middle East to actively prevent the returning of 52 Americans.
Think he thought about what would happen to them? Think he gave it a single solitary thought?
No, it really feels like they were political pawns to the behind-the-scenes political actors that were attempting to get Ronald Reagan elected rather than Jimmy Carter. And to the degree that this story is coming out now, 43 years after the fact, is this something that we should just shrug, shake off, let it happen again 43 years from now? Is this something that accountability can be had? I seriously doubt that, but I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If it takes, what, we're 5 years removed from this now? So 38 years from now, will it take somebody close to, say, the Trump administration that was, or on the Trump campaign of 2016? Will it take an individual to come clear their conscience in the columns over at the New York Times for us to know truly if there was coordination between the then Trump campaign and foreign actors? Is this something that, again, we will have to go through as a country years down the line? Because we do not have the mechanisms to hold individuals accountable for actions like this?
Now, I would argue that we have the mechanisms, we just don't have the will.
Well, the will is part of the mechanisms. You have to be able to use those mechanisms for them to actually count. If nobody is actually going to hold individuals accountable, then I don't know how many more times we're going to have to experience a story like this. And it is extremely, extremely frustrating that this is just being aired out in the New York Times in a Saturday column that we now learn of the details that allies to then Governor of California, Ronald Reagan, to get him elected to be President of the United States and not reelect Jimmy Carter. It is just a fascinating story. The Iran-Contra aspects of the Reagan administration, it just... And Evan, this was before your and I's time, so I'd be curious to know for individuals out there in the listening audience that lived through this aspect of American politics, love to hear your thoughts on it, your takes. 844-967-2789.
Ollie North took the heat, man. It was his fault.
Yeah.
It was all Ollie North and his secretary.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And so accountability there. Is that the most amount of accountability we'll receive?
And then he was an American hero. He wrote a book. You know? It's wild.
And that was throughout the Trump administration. That was what we got. We had individuals saying that they were adults in the room, and then they went and cashed in on book deals when they left the Trump administration. Is that the most accountability that we can get? Is firsthand accounts after the fact? Are we going to see accountability tomorrow? I don't know. I'm skeptical. Trump over the weekend coming out and saying that he's preparing. Individuals need to go out there into the streets and protest. Take their country back. He's saying the same things he said before the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Donald Trump is again fomenting ahead of potentially an indictment coming down from New York prosecutors tomorrow. And it seems like we are in this cycle where no accountability is had, and then we continue on. We just move on. And worse and worse things happen. And more foreign involvement in our nation's affairs. And again, just zero accountability. He's running for president again. Here in this instance. It is bewildering to see these events unfold and to read the story of a firsthand account in clandestine affairs in the Middle East back in 1980, because somebody's clearing his conscience 43 years later. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with me on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. Going to be joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign coming up at 2:30. Until then, we've got a couple of Wisconsin headlines we're going to get to, as well as your calls. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with me on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. It can be like Jack and Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon? Jack, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, finally.
What's going on this Monday afternoon?
Well, my thought is that in the 1980 election, everybody pretty much knew what had happened. This envoy that was sent to the Middle East was clearly designed to keep the hostages from being released, and it worked. And Reagan, who pretty much destroyed our economy and the middle class almost single-handedly, got elected into office. And it's when you don't have any consequences, it only gets worse. The Mueller report clearly showed that there was Russian involvement in the 2016 election. Nothing is done about that. Then January 6th, it got worse. We had an insurrection, violent in the Capitol. We had attempted coups by false electors in the individual states, half a dozen individual states. So far, nothing's been done about that. Unless something is done about this, it's going to be worse again, and you pretty much know what that means. Instead of an attempt, had a coup, we'll have one. So, yeah, it's great that, Trump may, and I say may, be indicted for the Stormy Daniels payment. But much more important is to make sure that something is done about these false electors, make sure that something is done about those who obviously, if you listen to the January 6th Commission hearing, you know they conspired to overthrow the government of the United States of America. I think that's illegal.
Yeah, last time I checked, Jack, that is absolutely an illegal conspiracy to do so. Appreciate your phone call, Jack. And that is my fear, is that if we lack the accountability, we are just going to continue to see things like this occur over and over and over again. And we're going to have a conversation with Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign coming up next at 2:30 regarding the fraudulent electors here in Wisconsin, as well as other aspects of democracy, the amount of money that is currently being spent on the state Supreme Court race, which is now 15 days away. 2 weeks from tomorrow, Wisconsinites will go to the polls and determine the makeup of the state's highest court. We'll talk about spending in that race and more with Matt Rothschild at 2:30 here on Dueling Tangents. Between now and then, though, we're going to continue to take phone calls like Andy here in Madison. Andy, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon? Andy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
I think it's par for the course, as been our entire history as Americans. And then also, the realignment was so important during that election. Like, Jimmy Carter had won the South as a Democrat, and then forever on, the South has now remained Republican, which has been, you know, so maybe there are some ulterior motives in that, but that's just my thought.
Yeah, and the South realignment was happening with that was set in motion in the 70s with Nixon, and I guess 1968 with Nixon's Southern strategy. And so that was definitely 1980 was one of the first times that we saw that strategy come into full effect. But appreciate your phone call, Andy. The historical implications of somebody coming clean in the nation's largest newspaper more than four decades later, saying, yeah, there was a concerted effort to prevent the Carter administration from bringing home 52 American hostages for the political ramifications. Individuals acting in those circumstances with hopes to get posts in the Reagan administration if he were to be elected. And it is just fascinating that this is not the top story being talked about everywhere, in my opinion, because we are doomed to see history repeat itself if we do not learn from it. And not having consequences and repercussions for actions like this dooms them to be repeated. And it is absolutely seen that some of the most emboldened political actors are at work right now in Wisconsin and around the nation. And so it is going to be very telling what the outcome of the state Supreme Court race coming up on April 4th is going to mean for Wisconsin and the nation. And it is insane to believe that those individuals need to be held accountable when it comes to fraudulent electors here in Wisconsin. Our state can act. Our state can hold them accountable for the conspiracy to overturn the election results in Wisconsin.
And then we have, in part, a wholly uneducated nation that relies on arbiters of truth, yourself and myself, right? Fox News, CSNBC, just whatever it might be, to get this information out there, right? This story, I don't know. I guess you can break it down in a sentence, and it sounds pretty exciting, but there's a lot of nuance to it. We need professional minds to get this information out there, and that's kind of where I see a bottleneck, like a serious bottleneck.
Well, an arbiter of truth is a very, very generous description of this show, Evan. But just sitting here talking about some of the things we're seeing. We're reacting. Brian and I's whole premise when putting together Dueling Tangents is there's a lot of things related. And if you can't see the parallels between this story from 1980 and what we're facing today, We're trying to connect those dots for you.
And we do it in good faith. I think that's the big, that's a big difference.
Absolutely. We definitely try. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, you can download the Civic Media app wherever apps are downloaded on your smart devices. Coming up next, we got Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign joining us here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Dueling Tangents will have that conversation about fraudulent electors and so much more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state on your local Civic Media radio station. You can learn more about what we're doing as a growing radio network, civicmedia.us. That's the website. Check it up. Check it out and sign up to learn more. And now, joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios, I am joined by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. How are we doing on this Monday afternoon, Matt?
What a gorgeous day, Luke. Finally, spring arrives.
It is. First day of spring. The women's hockey team bringing home the national championship. The Badgers, a hard-fought victory in the NIT to stay going there. Unfortunately, the Golden Eagles looked like they had a lot of promise, but those threes were just not dropping for them yesterday in the NCAA tournament. So they exit after the round of 32. Then their season coming to an end, unfortunately.
Yeah, they look good, though, for a while, didn't they?
They did. They're a very fun, very exciting team, and it's one of those things in March that any team can get hot, and any hot team can get cold. And so, unfortunately, just did not have it in the deck for the Golden Eagles to make it to the Sweet 16. But a lot of upsets this tournament so far. So not necessarily a huge shock. They weren't a 16 or they weren't a one seed losing to a 16 seed at least.
No, a lot of people have broken brackets by now.
Yeah, I believe there's no perfect brackets left. So that gives me a little solace knowing that mine looked terrible after the first round, the opening round of the tournament.
Warren Buffett's happy. He doesn't have to pay out.
There you go. And folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on the airwaves, 844-967-2789. But Matt, talking accountability, this story tends to be a conversation you and I get to have pretty frequently here on the airwaves as we wait for it in many regards. But Peter Baker over at the New York Times breaking this story about someone, individual, first name is escaping me, Barnes right now, he was referred to throughout the piece as Mr. Barnes in a lot of it. And a former lieutenant governor of Texas and political kingmaker in some regards, I guess, for Republican politics, admitting to the role that behind the scenes actors
later, we were all worried about what Reagan was trying to do and whether he was scheming some October surprise. At that time, we were thinking that William Casey, who turned out to be a CIA director, who was running his foreign policy team during the election, that he was up to no good in trying to delay the release of the American hostages held hostage in Iran. So we smelled a rat back then. Here's more evidence of the rat all these years later.
And does it bring... does it bring comfort knowing that that was the case, actually, those hunches that you had in 1980?
Well, it's slim.
Yeah, I was going to say.
holy smokes, the country would have been so much better without Ronald Reagan. And this was just a horrible scheme to undermine U.S. foreign policy, to undermine the safety and security of the hostages who were being held at the time, and to tamper with our elections. And we know a lot about tampering with elections these days, but it was happening way back in 1980. It's not a shock to me that William Casey was up to his eyeballs on it and that there were some Texas folks involved too. But we thought something was happening back then, and here's proof that it was.
Here's proof that it was now. And we're going to get to a little bit more accountability here, possibly in Wisconsin. But before we jump to that story, let's head over to the phone lines. We got Northwoods Terry calling in. Northwoods Terry, what's on your mind today?
I was just going to say, Luke, the first time I heard about this thing, this 1980 debacle was 1988 when Dukakis was running against Bush, the first Bush. And I remember the announcer, I don't know what I was listening to, but it was AM radio back then, and it might have been a station out of Atlanta, but I remember the guy saying, he said, it looks like it's going to be the Democrats winning this one because it looks like they tampered with the hostages in the 1980 election, so it should hand it to the Democrats. And he's saying this, like I said, July of 88. That's the first time I heard of it. I don't remember if I heard any more after that, but that's when I first heard about it. So, yeah. 1988.
So 8 years after the fact. And is it a slow trickle that allows, you think, mad individuals to get away with things like this? Is it?
Yeah, and you have these deathbed confessions. Now, the Texas guy is getting old and on, and he said, well, Jimmy Carter is very ill now. He wanted to make sure that the truth came out.
He wanted to clean his conscience now that the former president, Jimmy Carter, in hospice.
Right with the Lord. And then, of course, I remember Bob Woodward claiming that he had a deathbed conversation with William Casey about Iran-Contra and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, at some point the truth comes out, I suppose, but it is so late for us to know, you know, what happened, but that there was manipulation by the Reagan folks to sabotage Carter's chances, absolute proof's coming out right now.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm joined here in studio by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You can join us with a tangent, 844-967-2789. You can be like Joe in Madison. Joe, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
A great topic, really important, particularly as we head into what's happening with the fake electors, and I'm sure Matt will be giving us more information about that, because that's of the time, same thing. I would say, you know, this guy trying to get right with God 4 decades later, nice job. I mean, the courage is asked at the time. Courage is when you react when it's in front of you, not 4 decades later when times have changed and you go, oopsie, I guess that wasn't such a good idea. You know, oopsie, four decades later, not so much. I would throw in here, McNamara, Secretary of Defense during the Vietnam War, and was quoted after, probably about 10 years later, saying, gee, I knew as of about 1968 we were going to lose that war, and, I just left the administration at that time. Didn't say anything, of course. Kept my mouth shut as the carnage continued overseas. And I, as I recall, there was one soldier who pushed McNamara off a pier or a boat or something like that. And I thought, man, he got off lucky that that's all the retribution he got from the people who were harmed by that war continuing. You know, the families, the soldiers who died, the soldiers who were injured, soldiers left with PTSD. Well, this guy, you know, floated around with his fat job with the World Bank, and 10 years later goes, maybe it wasn't such a good idea. As for this guy out of Texas, you can try to get right with God, but, history's going to judge you as a loser and a coward who wouldn't open his mouth at the time when it counted. And in the same way, I wish that Josh Call and others would open their mouth and be counted at this particular moment in time. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Really appreciate the phone call, Joe. And it's important to talk about it here in Wisconsin because there are actors that could be doing more, potentially, and then there are actors that participated in these crimes that are actively trying to prevent their case being heard. Or in some regards, last year, there was a motion filed before the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and one of those six elections commissioners voted to not hear it. And one of those individuals was one of the 10 fraudulent electors, Robert Spindell.
The hideous Bob Spindell, who also wrote that email about the racist voter suppression that he was involved in down in Milwaukee last November.
He was bragging, celebrating about those efforts by the Republican Party of Wisconsin and of Milwaukee County suppressing votes of minority voters in that area in 2022.
Yeah, it's about as disgraceful as it gets. But let's look at this, at the false electors here in Wisconsin. They were impersonating the real electors. They were trying to take our votes away here in Wisconsin and throw the state illegally to Trump. There's been no accountability for them. And God bless Law Forward. I mean, the progressive law firm here in Wisconsin that is trying to fight for our democracy in the courtrooms. And, you know, they begged Ishmael Ozan, the DA here in Dane County, more than a year ago now to prosecute these false electors for forgery, for falsely assuming to act as a public officer, for misconduct in public office, for simulating legal process. And Ozan hasn't done anything about it. I've been urging on civic media, Josh Call, our attorney, and we've got no relief there. Law Forward, to its credit, has gone into civil court to sue the false electors, as well as Jim Troupas, the lawyer who helped try to get Wisconsin's false slate into Pence's hands.
And Kenneth Chesbrough, too.
And Chesbrough, too. And now these false electors with their attorneys are trying to split off the case in civil court and have 12 different or 10 different cases brought in 10 different counties where the defendants live with some bogus legal theory that they're trying out in court right now. I mean, are we ever going to have accountability for these guys? That's what I want to know. And where is Josh Call? And where is Ish Ozan? I mean, at least in this civil case, if Law Forward were to prevail, which I think they would, they'd get, $2.4 million in damages out of these false electors. So there'd be some penalty that those false electors would have to pay, some kind of accountability. I mean, that's what we're looking at in the state right now and in this country right now. Is there going to be real accountability for what happened with this January 6th coup attempt by Donald Trump? I mean, I know there might be a little bit of accountability in the campaign finance violation with Stormy Daniels, but that's like Capone for tax evasion. I mean, let's get Trump on January 6th undermining our democracy, engaged in a seditious conspiracy to overthrow the duly elected government of the United States. That's what he should be convicted of, tried on and convicted of.
And one of the hard parts here, and for the folks that are unaware of the headline over in the State Journal earlier today, the Wisconsin State Journal, Wisconsin Republicans seek to have fraudulent electors case split and heard in their home counties, written up by Mitchell Schmidt at the Wisconsin State Journal. And essentially, the attorneys for these fraudulent electors are saying, well, there's a special provision in a 2007 law that says if there's an election-related crime, that it should be heard in the home county of the individual being charged with it. But Law Forward contends this isn't just an election crime. This is a conspiracy. There are many different illegal facets that the fraudulent electors and their attorneys, Jim Troupas and Kenneth Chesbrough, conspired to overturn the election results here in Wisconsin back in 2020. And so it is going to be interesting. This case has been kicked around a lot. You mentioned how it is now moving through civil court. Well, it was filed here in Dane County. It got bumped up to the Western District of the U.S. federal courts, saying, oh, well, this is federal law, so it should go there. That court kicked it back to Dane County. So this is a legal football that I feel like there are a lot of courts that don't necessarily want to be the ones hearing it. And all in the background, we're waiting for further action from Attorney General Josh Call or possibly the special prosecutor now, or special counsel, Jack Smith in D.C. that was appointed by the Biden administration's DOJ to oversee all of these crimes coming together of the conspiracy around January 6th. So it is pretty confusing, Matt. Do you believe that these fraudulent electors will be successful in hearing their case and have it be moved and split apart?
No, I don't think so, because they were all engaged in the same plot. I mean, they were all committing the same alleged crime, and it all happened here in Dane County, so it should be tried here in Dane County. It's ridiculous that they could just split it off and have, 10 people robbed a bank. We're going to try all 10 in 10 different counties? That's insane. That's absurd.
Yeah.
The robbery happened here in Madison, Wisconsin.
This is where the crime was committed. Let's have it all together. You should hear one complete case, in my opinion, and I hope that that is what legally prevails, but we are seeing maybe some motion, hopefully this getting underway now that it's back in Dane County Court. There's not a whole lot of contention there. Maybe we'll get to see some aspects of legal accountability happening for these fraudulent electors, but they're delaying it. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Matt Rothschild in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Got one more segment in the day. We're going to talk about all the money being spent ahead of the election 2 weeks from tomorrow, and we'll take your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to follow the show, share us with a tangent online. Follow us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can also follow the network Civic Media US there as well. And stay up to date with the conversation. If you want to share a tangent with us here on the airwaves, 844-967-2789. I'm joined in studio by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Matt, outside of hopes that there's accountability for these fraudulent electors, a lot of the focus right now here in Wisconsin is on the state's highest court, the election that is taking place statewide, only statewide race on the ballot, Tuesday, April 4th, for the state's highest court, Wisconsin Supreme Court. And there is a lot of money being spent in this race. Experts, before things began, towards the end of last year when the primary started ramping up, everybody said that this was going to have the potential to break records for how much money would be spent on this race. And all of those predictions came to fruition. We broke that record pretty much leading up to the primary. There was more money spent in this Supreme Court race cycle than any other Supreme Court election in the state's history, in the nation's history. Right. This is going to be the most expensive judicial race, and there's a lot of money coming from the outside groups as well. What can you tell us about what Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's been doing to keep an eye on all of the money flowing into the state?
Yeah, Luke, that noise you hear is all the records being broken, and our great staff over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign pours over these numbers every day and wrote up a story today that we posted on our website. By our count, and I know other folks have different counts, but we count only the stuff that's already been reported and the stuff that we can identify as coming from the dark money groups. More than $20 million, though, already.
Wow.
And the national record is $15 million in an Illinois race about 15 years ago. So we've shattered that. The record for outside money in Wisconsin was $5 million in the 2020 race. There's now been $18 million spent, three and a half times what the old record was. It's just astonishing. And also, for the first time in our calculation, the outside groups behind Daniel Kelly are outspending the outside groups behind Judge Janet by about $4 million. And this is in part because Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the big business lobby in Wisconsin, one of the biggest players in politics in the state, is just throwing in $3.1 million on behalf of Kelly. You know, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce has spent $35 million since 2010 to buy a legislature that'll do its bidding, to buy a governor and Scott Walker who would do its bidding, and to try to buy justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's just an astonishing amount of leverage they're throwing around with their big bucks.
Yeah, and that is a pretty shocking update as well. 2 weeks out from this state Supreme Court race, a lot of the narrative to date had been that the liberal candidate, Janet Protasiewicz, Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, was outspending and outraising her competitor. Dan Kelly as a candidate spending or raising and spending very few dollars, Matt. It was astronomical. Just within the last 10 days or so, it was still being reported that he hadn't had any buys come up on radio, on television, for any of the statewide candidacy since the primary. And then all of a sudden the floodgates open, and now we are seeing with 15 days out from election day, outside money groups are spending more now backing Kelly after kind of just a pause after the primary, or were they gathering their resources in these outside groups,
or maybe they're looking at the Hagedorn victory. For the longest time, Hagedorn was outspent by Neubauer. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce wasn't even playing in that sandbox, and it just looked like no one was going to throw money behind Hagedorn. And then in the last 2 weeks of the election, it was just one ad after another for Hagedorn from right-wing groups, and it proved successful. So maybe they're trying that strategy again. You know, you just hit them real hard at the end and hope that that's going to work. I don't think it's going to work this time, but it might. That's a lot of money that Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce has thrown in, a lot of money that Richard Eline from Lake Forest, Illinois, mm-hmm. $4.6 million. I mean, it's boiling down to a race to see whether, you know, Ben Wickler can speed dial his multimillionaires faster than Richard Eline can, you know, throw money to his super PAC. Kelly urging Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce come to his side. You know, you're not supposed to be able to coordinate with outside groups that are telling you, who to vote for and who not to vote for. But Kelly's whole reason for people to vote for him during the primary was, I can get the outside groups to spend more than Doro can. I mean, it is just kind of absurd.
Protasewicz, though, not Doro in the primary. Yes.
And then he said, you know, after winning the primary, as you're suggesting, he said, you know, when asked why he isn't raising more money, he says, well, the outside groups are going to come in and rescue me.
I've got friends in the dark money shadows. Yeah.
I know some people.
And this kind of rope-a-dope strategy, the let us feel counted out, and then we're going to spend a lot of money at the end to get the candidate over the finish line. Neubauer and Hagedorn wasn't the only time that worked as well. In 2016, a lot of individuals were counting out then incumbent Senator Ron Johnson in his campaign against outside challenger at that point, Russ Feingold, and the Ulines and a lot of dark money did the same exact thing in 2016 and got Johnson over the reelection line. So this is a strategy that time and time again has worked in Wisconsin. It's going to be interesting to see if it works 15 days from now.
You know, I don't think it's going to work, because I think the people who want Protasewicz to win are motivated by issues that are going to bring them out to the polls in huge numbers. The abortion issue, the issue of gerrymandering, the issue of whether we're going to have a Wisconsin Supreme Court that's just going to decide for themselves who won an election and not count the votes, which is what three of the arch-conservative justices wanted to do last time around and just hand the state over to Trump.
And Brian Hagedorn said that he would have potentially heard those arguments as well, but the fact that Trump was litigating after the votes were cast was the reason why he sided with the three liberal justices. So there is an ally almost for the potential to hear a case against some kind of voting mechanism. Hagedorn sided with the conservative justices to outlaw drop boxes here in Wisconsin
But I give Hagedorn a little credit. I mean, he did side against his conservative colleagues, who must have put a lot of social pressure on him and called him all sorts of names in their dissent. And then afterwards, I mean, they've been screaming bloody murder that essentially he's a traitor over the last couple of months. So, you know, Hagedorn did show some decent independent strength and a decent amount of courage at a crucial time by not throwing our votes into the garbage can like the three other conservatives wanted to do.
Well, he left the door open for since the dress rehearsal didn't work in 2020, that he may be a willing ear for those cases in 2024. So it'll be interesting to see if we have accountability when it comes to the fraudulent electors, and if we have a Supreme Court that is pro-democracy after April 4th, or if we have somebody that will hear those cases.
Yeah, it's about our freedom and our democracy in this election. I guarantee you Dan Kelly would throw those votes away.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this Monday afternoon, Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You can check out that piece put together by his group, High Court Spending Continues, Records Soar. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents on a Monday afternoon. We got Matt Flynn Direct coming up next. Stay tuned. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow. Annalise Eicher and Dan Schaefer joining us for the Tuesday edition of Dueling Tangents. We'll be back. Talk to y'all then. We wish we could. Oh, no, there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.